Your speaker is Claude Farr.
The chief cornerstone. And we'll be looking at our text in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. And so if you'd like to follow along this morning, you can be turning to the second chapter, 1 Peter. Let me begin reading in verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. In these three short verses, the Apostle Peter really gives us kind of a compilation of Old Testament passages. He starts out, verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in Scripture. And it's not just one Scripture that he's talking about. Actually, he uses three different passages about this stone found in the Old Testament. And so before we study this particular text, I want to just read through those passages in the Old Testament. Two of them are found in the book of Isaiah. One of them is in Isaiah chapter 8, verses 14 and 15. And he shall be for a sanctuary, for a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. And then the next passage in the book of Isaiah is Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. And then the other passage is found in the book of Psalms, Psalm 118, verses 22 and 23. The stone which the builders refused is become the head stone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. So I just wanted to read those three passages from the Old Testament so that we could see this morning as we go through this text in 1 Peter chapter 2 that what the Apostle Peter does is just take those three Old Testament passages and kind of puts them together for us and gives us the Christian interpretation and talks about, of course, Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone. So he starts out in verse 6, quoting from Isaiah 28, verse 16, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. Note the emphasis there. This is God speaking. And God says, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. Now in Isaiah 28, where that passage or that verse comes from, in Isaiah 28, the people of God, the Jewish people of that day, were worried about an alien power that was about to invade the land. And to protect themselves, they had sought to make various alliances with other nations, political and military alliances. The prophet Isaiah is saying to them, that won't work. And in the midst of that prophecy, saying that the alliances that you make to protect yourselves, they won't work. In the midst of that, he says, but God is laying a stone, a sure foundation in Zion, and those who trust in Him will not, as he says, will not make haste. The Apostle Peter then takes this passage and tells us that this chief cornerstone is Jesus Christ. And then adds the last part of the verse, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. In the passage in Isaiah, it says, he that believeth on him will not make haste. And of course, in that context, it's easy to understand. That is, you won't run. You won't retreat from the enemy. But the Apostle Peter is quoting this from the Septuagint version and giving it more of a Christian meaning. Not be confounded, or in some of your translations, I'm sure say, not be ashamed. Not be disappointed. And it simply means that when we put our trust and confidence, not in ourselves, and any alliances, if you're talking about that sort of thing, that we might make, but if we put our faith and trust in the chief cornerstone, in Jesus Christ, we won't be confounded. We won't be ashamed. We won't be disappointed, because the chief cornerstone always comes through. And so that's the first quote. Verse 7 then, he gives the second quote. But before he gives the quote, he starts out and says, concerning this stone, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. I'd like for us to just think for a minute or two about the fact that this stone, Jesus Christ, is precious to us. And we show that in a lot of ways. When we're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And this morning we have spent time in the communion in which we commune with and in memory of Jesus Christ. He's precious to us. When we pray in His name. And many of the hymns that we sing, of course some of them are praising God and they're very, but many of the hymns that we sing we're singing about Jesus Christ. In fact, there is a song about the precious name of Jesus. And I guess that comes from the use of precious here in this passage. Jesus is precious to us, and we really are sensitive, and we ought to be sensitive about Jesus Christ. When people speak disparagingly of Him, or use, most of the time I guess people use God's name in vain, but people do use Jesus' name and in a vain way, a flippant way. It's just an expression. And we should be sensitive to that. That should bother us because He's precious. And so the Apostle Peter is talking about that. Unto you, therefore, which believe, He is precious. But that's not true of everybody. Because He says, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Of course, you can say that this would be kind of disconcerting to be trying to build a building and the stones are already cut and you kind of take this stone that you don't like and you put it aside and you're going to refuse to use it. And then you start building that building and it turns out that that's the main stone. That's the chief core. That's the very foundation stone. Of course, we're not talking here about building a building, but we're talking about religion. And he's saying here concerning religion that the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is become the head of the corner. You try to leave Jesus Christ out of your life and try to live your life without Jesus, you just as well try to build a building without the main stone. It just won't work. So the emphasis in this particular quote, and this particular quote is the one from Psalms 118. The emphasis here is that you cannot build a life, a religion, a society. You cannot build it properly without the chief cornerstone, without Jesus Christ. And then the third quote is in verse 8. And a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. And this one, of course, is from Isaiah chapter 8. A stone of stumbling. And so he's saying concerning Jesus Christ that he is a stone of stumbling. A rock of offense. Or that is a trap. Something of this snare. And both ideas, the ideas of both expressions is, will destroy you. And don't miss what Peter is trying to tell us here about Jesus Christ. Actually, there are three things that he's putting out. The first thing that he's putting out is this great precious stone through whom we can be saved. But then he's talking about some people disallowing and refusing or rejecting that stone. And then he's saying, this stone can destroy. This stone, Jesus Christ, If not the means of your salvation, will be the means of your destruction. That's what he's saying. A stone can be used for a good purpose. A stone can be used to crush someone. And that's the idea. And Jesus Christ is here as the precious cornerstone for a good purpose, for those who will accept Him and see Him as precious. For those who try to live their life without Him, stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Crushed. So having then kind of looked down that passage and seeing these three quotes and how the Apostle Peter used them, I want to look at next at the same idea of the stone found in the Old Testament. Look at not all the New Testament passages, but there are several others. I want to look at two other New Testament passages in which we read about the stone. The first one is from Jesus, and this is in Matthew chapter 21. And this is Jesus speaking as He confronts the Jews who are rejecting Him. And here Jesus uses this passage from the Old Testament. Verse 42. Jesus saith unto them, "Did you never read the Scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in your eyes." You see, the Jewish people to whom Jesus came, they were trying to build a religious system. But they were determined to do it without Jesus Christ. And Jesus said that in so doing, they were actually fulfilling this Old Testament prophecy about trying to build a building but disallowing the main or the chief cornerstone. And that's in verse 42. But then he continues, and in verse 44 he picks up and actually uses a passage from the Old Testament but makes it even more stern than is found in the Old Testament. But look at verse 44. "And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, and on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." Think about Jesus Christ and being that chief cornerstone. We think usually in terms of He's precious. The stone on which we build. And that's true. That's what He's saying. But in this verse, Jesus is offering this severe warning. Anyone who rejects Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, then this stone, two ways of looking at it. One is you'll fall on that stone and be broken. And you can imagine falling and your body being broken on a large stone. And then the other way to look at it is that you can imagine being under that huge stone and it coming down and crushing you. Neither of which is a good picture. But it is Jesus' way of saying that when you reject Him as the chief cornerstone, it's not a matter that you just reject Him and walk away and you're okay. But that stone will crush you. And then the next passage in the New Testament is the book of Acts, chapter 4, and the Apostle Peter uses it this time. And Peter is speaking to the Jews also, and he says in chapter 4 of Acts, verse 11, "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner." And then he goes ahead and makes this statement, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And I guess there's not a plainer way that you could say it, a more emphatic way to say it, than Peter says it right here, that salvation is in Jesus Christ. And that's the basic meaning of His being the chief cornerstone. If you reject Him, there's absolutely no hope of any salvation. So having gone through these passages and kind of looked at this idea, I was thinking about that and thinking of it in terms of the modern world and some of the things that we see in our world. We'll talk about a few things in our society. Talk a minute about secular humanism. Secular, of course, means, to define it, secular means it deals just with this world, not interested in eternal things, just this life. And then humanism says that man is the measure of everything. And secular humanism is the dominant philosophy in our world today. Now, it's more so in, and I guess I should say in the Western world, it's more so in the European nations than in the United States. And it's more so in other parts of the United States than it is in the South. But still in our society today, the basic philosophy that people live by, even people that don't even know it, but they live by the basic philosophy of secular humanism, which means that we're living for this world and we base what is right and wrong on humanity, not on a revelation from God. The problem with that is that secular humanism is trying to build a society without the chief cornerstone. And it just won't work. It is an effort to have a social structure in our world, but leave Jesus Christ out. And Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, and you cannot build a society, a proper society, without Jesus Christ. Now, I want to talk about values for just a minute. Clarification is something that was very popular a few years ago, but we'll talk maybe more just about values. And what I've been hearing is that everybody's interested in values. We hear a lot about family values now, and I don't know of anybody that's against values. Everybody seems to speak out for values and is trying to determine what are the right and the proper values. That's kind of a given in our society. Everybody is for that. The problem is that large segments of our world, a lot of people are trying to build a value system and leave Jesus Christ out of it. And that just won't work, because He is the chief cornerstone, and a proper value system cannot be built without Jesus Christ being in there as the foundation, the chief cornerstone. Big problem in our world today is the building of values. But the effort to do that without letting Jesus Christ have His place. And it just won't work. Now, I'm talking a little bit about religion, and I want to mention the New Age, and probably as I mentioned, New Age ought to include Islamism, and others of the Eastern religions that are kind of coming to our shores and seem to be growing. The basic thing that is wrong with the New Age, one of the things, or a number of things, with the New Age religion, and with the Eastern religions, is again, it is building a religion and leaving Jesus Christ out of it. And it's really not hard to see what has happened in our society. Our society kind of, not everybody, of course, but our society kind of rejected Christianity, God and Christianity. And we've seen, many of us, we've seen that in our lifetime, as society kind of rejected Christianity and kind of went to no religion and the humanism that I've talked about, that I've already mentioned. But then man has a religious nature. And people really cannot be secular humanists for very long. Because if you reject religion and God, true religion and God and Christianity, there is something in human nature that causes us to, we have a religious side to us. And people who had rejected Christianity, they had to have religion. And that's the reason that we've seen the rise in recent years of the New Age movement. That's the reason some of the Eastern religions are able to move in this country and find adherence, because people have rejected true religion and they've got to have religion. And so they start building some strange religion or accepting some strange religion. So the problem of it's the same thing. It's trying to have a religion without Jesus Christ. It's trying to build a building and leaving out the very foundation stone. A proper religion cannot be built. But more important than talking about society and religion and values, the most important thing for each of us to consider this morning is individual lives. Everybody wants to build a good life for themselves. I guess everybody, there might be a few exceptions, but I don't know if I've ever talked to anybody. Whether you're talking about a young person that's coming up, you know, and trying to decide, they want to build a life for them, a good life for themselves. And those who have already raised their children at my age and those who are older, we're all interested in what remains of our life, in building a good life for ourselves. That's just, again, that's just human nature. But if you try to build a life without building it on Jesus Christ, it'll crumble. It won't work. A good life cannot be, a proper life cannot be built without the chief cornerstone. And we're going to sing an invitation hymn in just a minute. And if you're not a Christian, I want you to think about this. Think about building your life. You need to make sure that as you build your life, that you build that life on Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. No other life will really work properly. And as we sing the invitation hymn, if there's anyone here this morning who's not a Christian, you need to believe, repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be buried with Christ in baptism for the remission of sins. And when you do that, to use the expression from the sermon this morning, you've accepted that chief cornerstone and made Him the chief cornerstone, precious in your own life. Is there anyone here this morning who's not done that, would like to do so?